I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal-making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names together.
I didn't want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
All right, you guys, welcome to this week's episode of the Temple of Hoop podcast. I have your co-host, Coach Maples, Jay Mapes, here. First, I want to say Jordan is back. He killed it in the bros' absence. Loved it. He's going to be a more consistent part of the show, kind of our gambling data stats correspondent. He's going to also help us out with some graphic stuff behind the scenes. So, Jordan, welcome to the Temple of Hoop extended family. Want to get that out the way. Thank you for all the stuff you're going to bring to us in the ahead of time, good brother.
Hell yeah, man. Happy to be here. I'm glad I filled in enough, held it down for Kings as much as possible.
What they said, you play so well on your 10-day contract, we extended you. That's how it worked, right? But big news, my co-host, my brother is back. Hashtag suspended Kings. Kingsley is back. My boy, what is going on with you?
Man, busy, but it's good to be back. Talk hoop, man. I've been, you know, catching a bit of the hoops here and there. Definitely easing my way back into it, but it's some things I've been noticing. You know, I had to come back.
We are glad to have you home, my guy. I know you're super busy working on that PhD, teaching all that stuff, man. Life is real right now.
Yes, sir.
Man, so what other way can we welcome Kings back by talking about his Timberwolves? They sit at 8-8, have won the last three, two really good wins against the Cavs and the 76ers. Did beat the Orlando team that's rebuilding without Paolo, but still three in a row. They sit at 13th in net rating. I do think it's trending upwards. That their four-man lineup combo, that D'Lo, Towns, Edwards, Gobert at a negative 0.6 right now. That four, kind of the four-headed monster. Hey, I just wanted your thoughts. That is your number one team. Your thoughts on how everything is going in Minnesota thus far?
Work in progress, man. We're just getting used to a new roster. I think really Cat understanding how to defend on the perimeter is the big thing. It's thrown off our perimeter defense. His the way he's been moving, Ant came into the season out of shape, so that also threw us behind the curve. We're just trying to get things together, and it shows with our record and with our ratings, offense rating, defensive rating, record. Everything's middle of the pack right now, and it's just because we're just trying to figure things out, figure how this team is going to be. We have potential though for sure. When it's clicking, it's clicking. But when it's bad, it's bad. And, it's just going to be a work in progress for us. But we have to make it work. We invested too much into it, too much into the core right now, to Ant, into Gobert. So it's just got to work.
Man. Before I retort, Jordan, anything on the, like, data or gambling side that Minnesota's jumping out at you right now or anything they're doing in particular?
Well, I mean, they're a tough team to really get a handle on, for the simple fact, I mean, their ATS record is 6-10. So, I mean, they're not market expectations, but I mean, they started really bad, So, I mean, they've been trending out, upward. They just beat, Philadelphia. They were 3.5 points and they won outright on the road. So that was a big win. But again, Philadelphia was playing on a back-to-back against Milwaukee, and they exerted a lot of energy in that game, especially after the game when, you know, Montrezl Harrell, who plays 5 minutes, trying to tell my guy Giannis not to practice, man. Like, what is going on here? But now Minnesota, I think Kings hit it on the head. Like, they are a work in progress. We talked about them the last couple of weeks and the fact that, like, you know, I don't think Cat is really built to defend on the perimeter. I think that's their biggest issue.
Yeah, that's I would agree. It's tough war about in space. A lot of the complaints, but from this is from Minnesota fans, is they don't love D'Angelo Russell as the general of that team. Where are you with that?
I haven't. Yeah, I haven't for years at this point.
What do they do though?
Yeah, that's you said.
That's
You said
the
that, yeah.
problem. That's the problem. I don't know what the upgrade is for him at this point. That's not gonna, age you, or it's gonna, make you have to, recalibrate how you run your sets, because Cat has repertoire with D'Lo. D'Lo's now been on the team for a good amount of time now. He's used to playing with those guys. Those guys are used to him and his play style. So unless you get somebody who's like really gonna either be a glove fit or who's really just gonna be a clear upgrade, it's just kind of hard to just move off of him just because.
That's Cat's guy too.
Yeah, and it's Cat's guy as well. So you can't just move off him just because. You really have to get somebody who makes sense. I was really trying to push for the Dejounte Murray trade in the offseason. That was my number one guy actually, more than Gobert. So but he went to Atlanta. Atlanta took the risk. It's paying off for them right now. So we took Gobert. I think Gobert can still work, but it's gonna take time, more time with that one.
Yeah, I think the George down there, the perimeter defense is tough. What are your thoughts on the big the two big combination? My thing is, on the surface, I thought it would be okay, but I did overlook Cat having to defend on the perimeter so much. But what are your initial thoughts on the Gobert Cat pairing?
I mean, it's crazy. Defensively, it's not really that good, but offensively, it's great. Gobert's vertical spacing is excellent. He flows well with our spacing that we and the st scheme that we run, but we just can't defend. I mean, when we need to. So, we'll have games where we're hot, we're scoring, and then we'll have games where we're kind of, struggling. And then defensively, we will have games where we play good sound defense, and we'll have games where we get into shootouts. So just really inconsistent. But like I said, the flashes are there. It's just putting it consistently. That might be coaching. That also might be age. I mean, Ant's gonna have to grow up. You like I said, came into the season out of shape. I wasn't. I thought I was tripping too because I saw some videos in the offseason. I was like, man, he looked husky. You know what I mean? I didn't want to say that. I was like, is that just because he naturally big? But then when it came to the start of the season, they were like, oh, he's out of shape. I'm like, I knew he was out of shape. I could tell he was out of shape. So I wasn't shocked when he came out of shape because I saw in the off-season workouts, he was looking a little bit bigger. So he's gonna have to, get his, start taking his preparation more seriously so that, the team can gel faster. And once he gets up to snuff, once everybody gets in stride, I think we're going to be a, about where I expect us to be. Honestly, I really think we'll be mid to 4 to 6 seed. I think we'll end up there when everything's all said and done.
Does the depth concern you? Sorry. Does the depth concern you?
It's inconsistent, but honestly, a lot of people's depth in this league right now is inconsistent. So it's just, it is what it is.
That was my retort. I was like, I think you're okay because there are a few teams in the West that are really underperforming compared to what we thought. Like the Mavericks, for instance, have some terrible losses. Lost to Nuggets without Joker. They lost to Toronto, who had a bunch of guys out. It's just some really they lost to the Pelicans without Ingram or Zion. Just a couple nasty, few nasty losses. So teams like that are really underperforming what we thought they were. So I think it's okay to have this time to kind of figure yourself out. So but I think once Christmas comes, around that time, we'll start to see the separation come with who's real and who isn't.
I'm Alex Rodriguez.
And I'm Jason Kelly.
From Bloomberg, this is The Deal. Each week, you'll hear us in conversation with business icons.
This show will explore deal making across sports, media, and entertainment.
That is a harsh lesson in business.
Sports is not as simple as bringing a bunch of big names
I didn't
together.
Want to do another stomp you out speech.
It opened up so many more doors.
The show is called The Deal.
Listen to The Deal.
Listen to The Deal on Spotify.
Speaking of teams figuring things out, we'll be going to the Lakers, team who employs Kingsley's GOAT, LB LeBron James. We're sitting at 2-10. Everything looked like it was falling apart. Jordan, I'm going to need you here because we need to level this out with the strength of schedule when the kind of the circumstances here that's that this is happening with. Last three games, Anthony Davis 30 and 18, or tonight 30 and 18, 37 and 18, 38 and 16, tonight 30 and 18. Dominant all three games. Pretty sure he's going to win player of the week off the strength of those performances this week. The Lakers are up to 5 and 10 after that horrendous start. They've won three in a row. Still three games out of that 10th spot. I got some before I give it to you, Kings. I got a bunch of data for you. So after that torrid week, AD's up to 25 and 11 with 2 blocks per game, playing great defense. Lonnie Walker, after a slow start, is up to 17 points on 47-35 shooting splits. I think he's probably been their best addition. Westbrook off the bench, 17. 9-5 on 43-39-80 splits.
Beating Clay.
The three games he started, 10-7-4 on 29-8-80 splits. He's been a completely different player off the bench, attacking second units and spending less time on the floor with LeBron between injury and just kind of staggering their play. They're still 24th in net rating because they were so bad to start the season. I just wanted to throw those things at you. What are your thoughts on the Lakers and what you've seen so far? To me, my foundational takeaway is Darvin Ham is doing everything he can. I think he's been a great coach. He's just literally playing the hand that was dealt to him. So what do you think?
Ham is – he's a great coach. I mean, that's just bottom line. For them to even be this competitive, given everything that's happened, you know, another major point, I think, the last three games, I know LeBron, too, during this win stretch. Man, he might have saved Westbrook's career. You know, he really might have saved his career because I think now teams can look at Russ and be like, hey, you know, he can play a supporting role now and he can contribute to winning in the supporting role. So I think now Russ goes from, oh, he's going to be out of the league, to now he has a place in this league now going forward in that sixth man, that off the bench role. And Russ, you know, congrats to him. I'm really happy for him, man, for him to swallow his pride to actually understand that he needs to take a back seat to be a contributing player. He really matured, man. And for him to do it this far into his career when he's never done it before, that's real big, man, because a lot of guys don't do that. And for him to just do it on the fly like this, it's credit to him. It's credit for Ham for getting him to buy in. And it's really big credit to Ham because all offseason he was saying it. And we were kind of like, oh, he's just talking. Nah, man, he was serious. And I really give credit to him for throughout all the trade talk, throughout all the turmoil, he kept the locker room focused on basketball. And I think that's been missing with the Lakers is they weren't focused on basketball for a long time. And I'm just happy, even though they're not good, that they're back to just playing hoop, enjoying hoop. Locker room is great. You know, they're just coming in, working. And that's what you want. You want the hoop foundation to be strong. And that's my thing for LeBron when he gets back. We know how LeBron can get when he gets in those moods and he gets in those and you know, that type of agenda mentality. And it's just the season is a wash, bro, unless they make a trade that could potentially put you in contention maybe. But the season is a wash. Just build these guys' confidence. You see what Russ is doing. He got Reeves and Lonnie, you know, playing well, getting, you know, having fun. You know, they're really looking to him in the locker room. He's being a vet for them. Like, Bron has to be that vet that he can do this. I mean, he's done this before, but he really has to, like, focus on hoop. I think KCP had a great point when he said his comment that he just doesn't see the fire in LeBron's eyes. And I agree with that comment because honestly, I couldn't see. It felt really bad watching him play early. I just felt like he was just going through the motions. Like, you know, it's LeBron James. He's going to wake up and put up numbers. But it was just like he was just hooping. Like, you know what I mean? He was just playing.
Yeah, I think the telltale sign for that, this is the first time in a long time that a LeBron James team has been better with him off the floor. I'll probably say he could never have. Like, the Lakers have been, even though they're in that tough stretch, they were better when he sat. And I think a lot of it has to do with, you know, your the energy. Jordan, I got to ask you, I think the Nets have the worst front line in basketball. I do think the Spurs is probably right behind that because, you know, Jacob Pearl, the center, was it Jakob Poeltl, didn't play. I'm sorry, Jakob, not Jacob. He didn't play, which gave their front line even thinner. This recent uptick for the Lakers, how do you see it? Is it something that's going to stick? Is it just anomaly? What are you seeing here?
Well, I think it is sustainable because, I mean, AD, obviously, when healthy and when he asserts himself, can be a top five player. We've talked about it before, right? And I think Kings hit the nail on the head about LeBron. Like, I think that he needs to look himself in the mirror at this point, 38 years old. Like, you're not that guy anymore, right? You need to be that seasoned vet that people can lean on. And I think Jason, we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, about the fact that, like, I don't know if it was you and me or someone else, but, you know, LeBron is so much older now that, like, he's disconnected from these young guys, right? He's like he's like a generation older than them, right? So he doesn't really connect with them the same, but, like, he needs to be that veteran presence. And I think Kings hit the head on the with Russ too, being that sixth man, how Darvin Ham kind of rallied him in. I mean, that shows you how good Darvin Ham is. And the one thing that, you know, being a Bucks fan and what I know from Darvin Ham is that the reason why Darvin Ham was so successful with the Bucks and why Mike Budenholzer always had him on his staff was that he was the guy that connected with the players. Mm. He was the NBA. He was that guy. Like, Giannis has alluded to it. Bobby Portis has alluded to it. Like, he was the guy that connected with the players on the coaching staff. I think he's doing that here with the Lakers. I think he's absolutely sustainable for the Lakers to be better. I think they can be a top 10 seed. I think a lot of it has to ride on LeBron and you know, is he going to be the LeBron that just wants to break Wilt's record and that's all that, or I'm sorry, Kareem's record and that's all that matters? Or is he going to be the LeBron that is going to rally everybody and be the leader that we've seen him be, right? We've seen we've seen him do it on the Cavs. So it's going to come down to LeBron, because you're right. The Lakers have been better without LeBron so far.
So the big trade that's always been talked about on the table, I want to get into this a little bit, was the Indiana Pacers trade. It's funny because Miles Turner and Buddy Hield are playing out of their mind right now for the Pacers. Turner's having a career year, 18-9, three blocks, 50-40, 83 splits. Also getting a decent amount of threes up, so it's not just a low volume guy. He's legitimately stretching the floor. Buddy Hield, 18-3-3 on 44-40-91 splits. I think at this point, if you're Indiana, they're going to hit the Lakers with that Fat Joe. Yesterday's price is not today's price, given how those guys have played, and they know the Lakers situation. I think this should have been done in the preseason when you give these guys a training camp. But I am at the point so a couple weeks ago, I was like, you know what? You ain't going to be able to make a trade to get you anything. Save your picks, eat this, and try to do something in the offseason. But, you know, the more I watch, if AD is going to remain this assertive, I say you give him a shot and try to move the picks.
NBA is wide open. That's
yeah,
why.
I think, yeah, that too. The West is not what we thought it was going to be. I do wonder if Indiana has reassessed the price for those. Like, those aren't salary dumps anymore. Those are legitimate plus players now. And I know the market's going to be there if they shop them. So I don't know if that's a deal. I know the Charlotte deal with Rozier and Hayward. Only thing is with Hayward, he's more injury prone than AD and LeBron at this point. That's the other gamble you take. So I don't know. But of the trades you guys have heard, I'll start with you, Kings. Which ones do you want the Lakers to pursue and why?
With AD like this, LeBron's final years, if you wanted a final hurrah with LeBron and you wanted to maximize AD prime, it's definitely Buddy Hield and Miles Turner. There's nothing – you don't have max cap room.
It's only like 29 or 30 million.
So you really can't feasibly get better significantly in the offseason. We're not going to talk about the wild card potential chaotic – mess that would be a Kyrie Irving to the Lakers. Yeah, we won't get into that for many reasons. But, you know, so when you think of all of that, and, you know, it's like you kind of just have to if you want to maximize the championship window, because your only other alternative really is to pray that Kyrie's situation gets resolved and then buy him on the low. Like, that's really, like, outside of Turner And buddy, that's really your second alternative for a championship. So it comes to the Lakers. I mean, do they want to punt AD's prime, or do they want to hold on to picks in the future when, you know, I don't know, man. Like, I get it from an average team standpoint. I get it. But the Lakers just always find a way to get free agents. And when you have that to fall back on, it's just hard to for me to then say you should keep a pick. If this was a regular team, I would say, hell no, don't trade those picks. But
here's my – before Jordan, you chime in, here's my thing to that. They got free agents when Buss and West were in charge. And LeBron, it wasn't for the Lakers. It was for Los Angeles.
Yeah, of course.
That's the only thing. I don't know if Jeannie and Rob are going to be able to reel them in. I don't know. But
I agree with that. I agree.
That's
with that.
The only other thing. But
do you trust them to scout? I mean, too. So
that's the only part of Lakers I do trust.
They've been scouting. Whoa.
That's the only part.
I mean, you trust them to scout and retain players. That's my main thing. Because yeah, they draft the guys. But as you can see, do you trust Genie to pay the guys? Because that's the part two.
That is very. I remember. I think the most frustrating I was early this season. I don't put this on Darvin. They had Darvin out there giving us free agents, general manager speak, talking about this is who we are. We got to stand on the tax line. I was like, don't ever trust your coach out there to say that about a team. He's out there giving, you know, we can't go over the tax line, talking points to the media. This is who we have. Like, don't send your G. So obviously, Belinka's mentioned it to him at some point. So
for the past three years, they've been cheap.
I'm kind of torn. I know they'll be able to get to draft decently. Like, even Max Christie has shown that, okay, he's going to be a decent rotation player. Like, they hit a home run with Reeves. You know what I mean? But is he going to hit, like, another Caruso where he gets priced out because of the tax line? You know what I mean? So we'll see. But that was my only retort. I don't know if Genie and Rob are going to be able to pull in that superstar player. Go ahead, Jordan. What do you think?
Well, I think they need to bring in a basketball person. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's the number one. Like, they need somebody like Jerry West. And I know Jerry West ain't coming back, you know what I mean? But they need to bring somebody in like that who's going to make the basketball decisions, because I don't think Rob Pelinka is that guy. And there's too many voices in that Lakers front office, man. Like, there's no consistency, basically. And I think that leads to a lot of the issues they have with retaining roster spots. I do agree with you in the fact that, like, they do scout well. I don't think they brought in free agents very well since Genie Buss. LeBron is an anomaly, basically.
He won in L.A.
Yeah, and so I think that's a big issue. I was going to ask you guys, though. I heard a report that the Clippers are interested in Miles Turner.
I mean, they have the ammo to get him. That's kind of that's scary, because they have the ammo to get him. And probably a more attractive deal given some of the guys they have. I'm curious about the fit. Zubac's probably, for as far as price to roll, probably one of the best value centers in the NBA. I think Dean Turner is a better player.
You would think they would have to trade Zubac to get Miles Turner, though, right?
Obviously, I think so.
Yeah. I don't know if they want to do that. I mean, defensively, they're the number one defensive rating team in the league.
I mean, obviously, I think in a vacuum. Better. In a vacuum, Turner is a better, but yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know. Jerry West has made some trades to spike the Lakers before. I remember the Marcus Morris pickup. They didn't even need him. They just picked him up anyway because the Lakers were in on him. But yeah,
I mean, he's still on the roster, so I kind of think they wanted it because he kind of fits what they do. You know what I mean?
Spread the floor, knock shots down, versatility. Yeah, I can give you that. Just the Clippers have a bunch of wings that could be helpful to any team.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, their offer might be ultimately better.
But do you think, so let's say potentially trades here. Let's say the Clippers offer Norman Powell and oh my God, what's the white guy's name that's slipping my mind? The guard from Duke. A lefty. What's his name?
Oh, the wing, Kennard. You said guard threw me off. Kennard, the wing, yeah.
They offer those two, Norman Powell, Kennard, and some picks. They don't really have any picks either.
They don't have any picks, all in Oklahoma.
So, I mean, what can they realistically offer? Because they have to match salary, and basically you have to at least trade Kennard and Powell, or you have to trade Reggie Jackson in one of those guys. But I think Reggie Jackson's value has kind of decreased this year. Like, he's definitely not playing like he was last year. So, I think the Lakers could probably offer the better package, because at the end of the day, Russell Westbrook comes off the books at the end of the year.
Yeah, when the start of this conversation, like, Indiana's fifth right now in the East, and those guys are playing out of their mind. They hit another home run in the draft. They got Duarte last year. They traded for Haliburton, and they drafted this kid, Mathurin. Like, so they have a decent team.
Hey, but at the end of the day, Jason, this team as built right now, probably not going to be able to compete. You add a Victor Wembanyama to those guys? Woo!
Yeah, I mean, we'll have to see how that goes. But I mean, at the end of the day, it depends on what you think about Haliburton's ceiling. I think that kid has a chance to be. Huh?
Ultra high.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. That's what it depends on.
So, I mean, if you can get, because I think Benedict Mathurin has a ultra high ceiling too. I mean, I watched a kid.
That's what I'm saying. So, like, do you give, like, you know, Hield and Turner are very good the support for, you know, those young guards. They space the floor, and then Turner erases a lot of mistakes defensively. So, do you even make the trade? Is what I'm saying. Like, for. My thing is, I think before the season, Indy was more willing to move those guys. They didn't know how good they were going to be, but a good start. You hit a home run in the draft. You got Haliburton. So I was like, that's why I said, remember, yesterday's price is not today's price. So that's the, you know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking about on the Indy side going forward. But
plus, you have to deal with, like, the pushback from the fan base too. If you're a fifth seed and then you trade those two guys, I don't think the fan base is too happy with that. What? You traded these two guys for Westbrook?
Right. So, man.
Be interesting though. I do think that this draft is pretty deep though. There's a lot of guys.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
It's very deep. It's very
a lot of guys in that top 10.
Yeah. I think you've been to like top 20.
30. Oh, yeah.
At least through the lotto, I'm very high on most of the guys who were considered lotto picks. Mm-hmm. Moving on. Last team we're going to talk about today. Man, those Sacramento Kings. We was Kings. Started out rough, have won 9 of their last 10 games. It's funny, the defense is terrible, but they can score with or on anybody. Just a quick rundown, De'Aaron Fox, I don't know how sustainable this is, but 25-6-5 on 55-37-82 splits on a high volume. Sabonis, 18-11-6. Kevin Huerter, 17-4. Barnes, Monk, double figures. And they also, I believe, they drafted a star in Keegan Murray. He's in double figures. You got six guys in double figures. They're scoring you in waves. Second best offense in the NBA. 27th in defense. Basically just outscoring teams night to night. Very, very fun watch. I are zooming to the top of my league pass rankings. I watch as much as I can. That team is very, very entertaining, if nothing else. One, do you think this is sustainable? I guess that's the main question. Do you think this is sustainable?
Yeah, I do.
Go ahead, King.
Yeah, I was gonna say I agree. I mean, you kind of saw it when they traded for Sabonis. When after, like immediately after, at least offensively, they started to uptrend immediately after. So I think offensively, this will definitely stick. So as long as they're scoring and giving teams fits offensively, and you know they added. A great draft pick,
yeah,
right, man. Right to the wing. So I mean, as long as they keep playing offense like that, absolutely, it's going to be sustainable for them. They're a competitive team now.
Man, for me, I've been a De'Aaron Fox believer. I don't know if these shooting splits are sustainable. Like this would be an all time season for a small guard. He's playing like prime Tony Parker with a three ball right now. So I don't know if that's going to stick. If it does, I'll end up in the damn MVP conversation if this sticks. But yeah, man, just a fun team to watch. They don't guard. They gave up 70 in the first half today to a Pistons team. Ended up winning the game just because they outscored them. What do you think? How are they doing against the spread and stuff? Like, that's what I want to curious. Like, what are they doing like against? What has Vegas got going with them?
I mean, they're the best team against the spread. They're beating the market. Crazy. 11-4 against the spread. 7-1 as an underdog. Plus 4.3 margin against the spread. 8-6-1 to the overs, which you would kind of think would be higher, but the market does set their overs pretty high. I was talking to, I have a couple of friends that are Kings fans, and when they were struggling, they were like, you know, who are we going to draft? And I was like, bro, to be honest, you guys are going to make the playoffs because all the data says that they're a better team than they were performing at in the beginning of the year. And now we're seeing it, right? I have them eighth in my power rankings in the entire NBA. I think they're that good of a team right now.
Guess what their net rating is?
What?
Eighth.
Yeah, I think they're up there, man. Like, because – and De'Aaron Fox is playing phenomenal, you know what I mean? And the other thing, too, that we're not taking into consideration is at some point Davion Mitchell has to take a step forward offensively. And once he does, that could get scary because he is an elite defender already.
Very elite.
I think it's tough. We might not even see that statistically because they have, like, in the six guys in double figures. And then Malik Monk's is semi-high usage off the ball.
Malik Monk.
Right. So I think
that's another great pickup.
Yeah. So I think that's what, but, you know, I agree with you. He has another step to take, but, you know, being the one guy on that team who probably plays defense on that end, that's, you know, he still has some.
That is true. That's a great point. He probably is the only guy.
Yeah, man.
I think Murray will eventually at some point, you know, become that.
He was great defensively at Iowa.
Yeah, he was. That's what that was one of the big things. He was a guy people thought he was an NBA ready defender. That was one in his scout report.
Yep.
But yeah, man. I would like to see him get better defensively. Shout out to Mike Brown. He has been the basically associate head coach for the Warriors before this year. So I definitely think he picked up some championship pedigree. Even then, he's been coach of the year before. Coached those early Cavaliers teams with LeBron James. Ended that Pistons team.
I'm not gonna lie. I thought the Kings were gonna be a lot better defensively under him.
Same. I finished so.
It's hard to with Sabonis, man. This didn't shock me. When they got Sabonis, I knew they were gonna be hyper offense, but I knew they would be competitive. So,
yeah, I think it's tough when you have a bad center defensively. It's hard to cover for that. Yeah. Just in the NBA in general, because that's no rim protection. That's bad pick and roll defense. It's just a lot to overcome. Yeah, I picked the Kings 10th before this. I had them in that last playing spot. I think barely nudging out the Lakers. So that's kind of where I had them. I think they might kind of be overshooting that because I had Dallas just missing, like beating the play-in, but Dallas looks like a play-in team to me.
Like yeah, I had Dallas completely before the year in my early preseason. I had Dallas fumbling, like fighting this get in. Like I just did not like that roster.
It's tough, man. I think I think me and you Kings, we discussed this guy before. I think people love the idea of Christian Wood until you see him play.
I told many people that when they came, I'm like, it's not gonna go the way you think.
Yeah, it's like you see the shooting and stuff, it looks great. Then you watch him on the other end and then how he abandons all his defensive principles to try to block everything and doesn't rebound.
Even offensively, the way he gets his offense is kind of takes away from the flow of the team. So
and he's already complaining about the kid. You know, Jason Kidd don't play that no defense stuff anyway. He's complained about playing only a minute 30 in the fourth quarter tonight in a loss. You know what I mean? So you know,
it's crazy because like statistically, Dallas is still a top five team.
I saw that. I look at the net rating. The thing is, bottom three fourth quarter team in basketball. That's a barometer for early exit or missing playoffs. It's like they did the net rating by a quarter, worst fourth quarter team, which is crazy because Luka is super clutch.
Yep. But I mean, he's outside of him, they struggle, dude.
Oh, yeah. That's like I had the whole state of Texas upset with me because I was like, outside of they have Luka, what other reason can you give me that this team just, you know, avoids the play-in?
Nah, they suck.
A lot of people were saying Christian Wood.
Yeah, so like that, and that right there is just
not good enough reason.
Man, before we go to the individual part of it, I told you guys I wanted to get your top five teams in each conference just to see kind of where you are. Let's start out East. Jordan, you want to go first?
Yeah, I got Boston number one. I got them number one in the entire league. They're number one in my power ratings. Number two, I got Cleveland. I know they're coming off a tough stretch, but I still think, like, fully healthy, I still think that they're there. Statistically, they're there. Right. Number three, I got Milwaukee. They got to get healthy, dude. They really do. And honestly, I think the best thing that happened to the Bucks was this situation on Friday night with Montrezl Harrell and Giannis. Because Giannis is, there's something wrong with him, bro. Like, he is not right. He has not been playing very well the last couple weeks.
Career low efficiency.
Shooting under 45%, but I think that this could really fire him up. And I don't know if he's injured or if it's fatigue from the Euros in the summer, but he got to get going, bro, or else it's going to be a struggle. Number four, I got Toronto. And number five, I have Atlanta.
Yeah, Toronto's starting to get it together. That's a good call. Real quick before I go to Kings, what is Middleton's timetable? Do you know?
Said today that he practiced in full, so.
Okay, so it's not too far away.
Yeah, the Bucks, I mean, you just never know, dude. Like, maybe everybody, bro. Like, Pat Connaughton was supposed to come back 2 weeks ago and we still haven't seen him.
Oh, yeah, I remember. Yeah, I'm like, he was, like, itching to come back and we never heard anything.
So, who knows at this point? But Giannis got to get right, because if he's not right, shit could go off the rails, dude, really quick.
All right, Kings, top five in the East.
Yeah, number one, I have Boston, obviously, the most dominant team in the league right now. Number two, I actually do have Milwaukee. Despite all the struggles, when you play defense, you're always going to be, you know, you're always going to be up there. You know, defense wins championships. Milwaukee right there with the LA Clippers, tops in the league for defense. Number three, I have Cleveland. Four and five is going to be a shocker to y'all. Number four, I have Philly. I think despite everything, you look at their defensive rating, their guarding, Maxey looks like he's taking the next step.
Oh, 4 weeks, so King.
He's out for a month. That was the only thing. That's why I could.
I know he's out, but you know he was looking like he was taking the next step.
Absolutely.
And when he gets back, you know he's still gonna be. I feel like he's still gonna be in that groove. Harden taking this year serious. You know, body looks right this year. Looks like he's mentally locked in to try and get a championship. And I just think they have the recipe. They just have to put it all together. Obviously, the downfall becomes playoff coaching. But I think roster-wise, playstyle-wise, I think they're a great team. And then five, I'll go with Atlanta. It's very good. Dejounte Murray is a very good player. And there's a reason why I had him as my desired trade destination and the trade option for Minnesota. What he brings to perimeter defense as well as offensive playmaking is very rare in today's game. He's really one of those throwback two-way guards in terms of running an offense, scoring inside, and then guarding the other guy's best perimeter guard. So he was always going to change any team that needed that type of off-ball handler as well as, you know, lead defender on the guard spot. So compliments Trey perfectly. They have enough shooting for him to help open them up. We would have had that too in Minnesota, which is why I wanted him. But so Atlanta, my fifth.
Yeah, because of how good he's been, they were able to withstand Trey shooting blindfolded the first 10 games of the season.
Hey, real quick, before you give your power rankings, can we just give a shout out to Travis Schlenk and how he's building the Hawks is like a poor
absolutely.
Man.
Absolutely. You know who he used to work for, so, you know.
Literally, like, he's building them exactly how they built the Warriors.
Right. Me, Celtics, obviously, kind of I think they're the clear head and shoulders above the league right now. My second team, I have the Hawks, just very impressive. Like, even with Trey's struggles still running off wins, I like them a lot. Three, I'm going with Milwaukee. A little bit of a bump here. I don't know if Giannis is all the way healthy. They got to get Middleton back. But I do think Brooke Lopez has been the second best center in the East. Nice. Just damn good. Four and five are going to be a little wild to y'all. Four, I have the Pacers. 8-2, last 10 games, getting career years from Turner and Hield. Again, back-to-back stellar first-round picks, in my opinion. Added Halliburton, just a really good team, brutal team to guard. The guard play, tough team to defend with all the guard play. Multiple guys who can attack off the dribble and shoot. You got to be on your P's and Q's to stop that team. Lastly, I have the Wizards. Rough start, 7-3 last 10 games. Kyle Kuzma playing out of his mind. What'd you say?
Porzingis playing like an all-star too.
Yes, I was going to say that. Him, Porzingis, and you add Beal in there when he doesn't have COVID for 72 times. Damn good player. But yeah, man, those are my top five. I still think there are some teams that are better, but the Pacers and Wizards, just the way they're trending right now, I got to show them love with how they're playing.
Hey, Jason threw the Spurs in his top five the first week, Kings, and then they went on to lose like five in a row.
I know. I got to see if we got to see if the tip of the hoop curse is real. It's been real a couple times. Yes. We mentioned some guys, and then they've gone off the cliff. So we got to see if that sticks this year. Man, this is what I want to see, the West, because it's about three teams in this top five in the standings that we did not think would be here. So I'm curious how you guys will rank them. George, you can go first this time with your Western Conference.
All right, I got Utah number one.
That's fair. That man, it's hard to dispute that, man.
Phoenix number two, Pelicans number three, the Trailblazers number four. I know Dame's going to be out a couple of weeks, but honestly, when he was out last time, he performed pretty well without him. And then number five, the Kings.
Fair. Kings, go ahead.
Yeah, I got Suns at one for me. I got Nuggets two, Jazz three, Blazers four, and then the Kings at five. I think I'll go Clips at five.
It's tough. They are starting at five, dude.
Clippers are starting to get it together, man. Yeah, it's tough, man. It's tough because the Pelicans, everything reads as a juggernaut. But they can't keep Zion and Ingram on the floor, so you don't see it in the win column. But all their data is like, I think they're one of like four or five teams that's top 10 in offense and defense in the league, period. How they put a top 10 defense on the floor playing Zion and Jonas in their front court, that's amazing to me. But it's kudos to Herb and Trey and Ingram even trying on defense this year. So we'll see, but I can't put the Pelicans in my top five until they can keep 14-1 on the floor and start, you know, churning out like tangible wins. So number one for me is the Suns. I picked them over Utah because I just feel like it's more sustainable because of the guys. Utah's two. I can't keep denying the product at this point. 18 games in, that's a pretty good sample size. Three, I go Kings, 9-1 last 10 games. Just kind of streaking right now. Four, Nuggets, kind of one of the few teams that's like semi-consistent, but Joker's out with a minute here, so we'll see. And then five, I am going to go Clippers because adding Kawhi back, Grizzlies, Jonathan out the lineup, Trailblazers would have been there too, but Dame is out for a minute, going to get reevaluated in 2 weeks. That sucks because that team, this is probably the best team he's had in some years. They finally went in. It's like, hey, modern basketball, let's get some wings who can do something aside from just stand and shoot. They finally went into that, and Dame is starting to get hit by the injury bug, but it's tough with guards over 30. I hope this doesn't become a thing. This is really the best team he's had since he's been in Portland, so I really, you know, hope he stays healthy, but those are my top five teams at this point.
Hey, I'm not going to lie, though. Dame cost his team the game against the Nets.
Yeah, I saw that. I mean, when stuff like that happens, I look like, you know what? How many games has Dame pulled victory from the jaws of defeat? You know what I mean? Like, so that's why you're right. I mean, you're right in the vacuum, but over the course of a year, Dame's going to pull a rabbit out of a hat more than he cost you. So he'll get that back for him. But you're right, though. Just, you know, very uncharacteristic for him. You're right, though.
Also, real quick, Ben Simmons. Can we talk about Ben Simmons for a second? Two games, he's looked spectacular.
Yeah, that's good because he's gearing up to go to Philly. They play Philly tomorrow, right, or Tuesday?
I think Tuesday.
Yeah, so, I mean, he said it too. They were like, you think he's going to ease up? And he was like, come on, man, you know we're going to Philly, so he knows what's coming.
Let's see, because he usually shrinks in the moment, so we'll see.
We'll see. Last thing, Gig's first episode back, wanted to do his get our temperature on early MVP candidates. I have my top three. I let you guys respond and go after three. I have Giannis was on a tear. I don't know what happened. Kind of hit a wall here. 30, 12, and 5 on 51, 22, 59 shooting. The free throw shooting, he was low 70s last year, so I'm wondering if injury is a factor. But defensively, he's still been amazing. So he's 3-2. For me, is Devin Booker. Team's winning a game out of the first seed. 28, 6, and 5, and he's like barely below 50, 40, 90, 48, 39, and 89 splits. Booker? Yeah.
Man, if Booker wins the MVP, I will fly both of you out here to Vegas and we will party because I have a huge ticket on Devin Booker to win MVP this year.
To me, he's second right now. 28, 6, and 5, flirting with 50, 40, 90. Team is winning. He's hit all the efficiency and out efficiency and productivity benchmarks that they look for before they give it out. But one, that's just Jason Tatum to me. Playing out of his mind, 37 and 5, 47, 38, 87, and playing all-NBA defense. Best two-way player in basketball right now, in my opinion, and the team has been absolutely dominant. Like, their hope for beating Boston right now is to hope that they're missing threes that night. Yeah. And you got to pray that they're missing their threes that night because they generate so many. They turn the game into a messed up math problem. They just outgun you from three. And they have players like Jalen and Tatum get to the basket at will. So
yeah, they're like the Utah Jazz, but they have perimeter defense. It's crazy.
Yeah.
My top three, I got Curry number three. I know that like the Warriors being outside looking in right now, it kind of hurts his chances. But to me, I mean, he's been the best player in basketball. It's just his record kind of puts him at number three for me. He's just been incredible, dude. I don't know how he keeps doing it. Number two, I got Luka. He's just a special player, man. Like, there's no way around that. And then number one, I got Tatum. And I don't – at this point, like, if the season were to end, I think it would be unanimous.
That's how great he's been, yep.
Wouldn't even be close.
Yeah, I mean, number three, I actually did have Giannis. Again, you know me. I like guys who defend at a high level as well as produce on the offense, so – I had Giannis at three. Two, I did have Luka. I mean, special season, monster numbers, just monster production, monster highlights, special passes. He's doing it all offensively. And then, yeah, one is a no-brainer.
We all on Tatum.
he might be the best player in the league if he goes all the way. I mean, that's just type of season he's having right now. And, you know, it's funny. It's really funny that he's doing this because remember Maples – when we had that list of best guys under 25, and what did I tell you? And what did I tell on this pod? I said, Jason Tatum's two-way presence will make him a rival to Luka Doncic. And people laughed at me.
I remember.
People laughed and said, he's not good enough playmaking. I said, Jason Tatum can score, he can shoot, and he can defend at such a high level that he will rival Luka Doncic for MVPs. And here we are. So, you know, I'm actually happy this is happening because I kind of predicted that a couple of years back. So I'm glad to see Luka and Tatum having the rivalry that I expect them to have.
I think the one thing about Tatum, and kind of alluded to it too, is like in the final, they would have won that finals, dude, if they could just hang on to the basketball. Like they had so many unforced turnovers, dude.
It was that, but I got it, and you know, Kings. Sign on the Kings agenda. You got to give Wiggins credit, man. Nobody defended Tatum like Wiggins did. Like, I mean,
but I mean, he did it throughout the entire playoffs. So no matter, even when Wes Matthews was guarding him,
that's true. But I just put Wiggins like, I just like the like Tatum's points were down. Like it's like that was his worst series of the playoffs.
Yeah, his efficiency was bad too. Like Wiggins, I think had the best individual defense he has seen all throughout. So I think Tatum overall, if he just plays better, they win that finals.
And also I think that's the worst defense you could play on Steph Curry is a deep drop. I couldn't believe they opt for a consistent dose of that.
They have the personnel to not do that, but honestly I really think it had to do more with Time Lord's injury. Just really scared them.
And Marcus
I think that's why. And then Smart being hobbled the way he was, they just didn't want to take the chance. And it was the wrong guy to do that to, though. But my thing with Steph, man, and obviously you can't. I guess Lou just might be the only one who's good enough to do the hedge and recover. Or maybe just because he had LeBron in his peak to quarterback the defense, but – I mean, you can't obviously that stuff with Nurse was just like 1 year because he had bums. You really can't play that type of defense on him. Really, the only successful way to stop Curry and win was from what Ty Lue did with the Cavs when the Warriors actually had a good team and they still were able to stop them. But again, you know, it was the right mix of the right pieces. I don't know. how many teams can put that out. So it's tough.
Hey, real quick. I know, Jason, you coach college basketball, right? Kings, do you watch any college hoop?
I watch a little bit here and there, yeah.
So Virginia, one of the best teams in the country, they just beat Illinois, and they just beat they beat Baylor and Illinois this weekend, right? Two of the best teams in the country. They're the only team in the country that I see that hard hedges every screen and roll. Why do teams not hard hedge anymore?
Because it's to do it consistently, your team has to be on a string. I had somebody who works in the NBA explain this to me. Was like, there's so much turnover in NBA rosters. There's no fluidity or continuity defensively. So having to teach that every year to get that connected defensively to hedge and recover, and he's like, it's tough. So the teams, they opt to. So if you look at it, you know what? Let's get a bunch of wings. We could just switch everything.
That's a great point, because that when the Cavs did that with Curry in the finals, they had over – that roster was most of the same guys from the previous year after the trade. So they had played with each other. They had played under Lou, because Lou was coaching with Blatt. So they had played and coached under Lou for a good amount of time by that time that season came over. So it wasn't like they were just out there with misfits. It was a bunch of guys who had played together and had deep runs. But like you said, that – the hard hedge and recover, like I say it casually, because for me, it's like when you play at the lower level, it's like it's something that you were commonly coached to do to offset. But it really does take a high level of communication. But it's really the best way to like to trap and to blitz. You have to hedge, you have to recover, you have to rotate. But you also, like I said, you need a quarterback on defense who's not only going to be able to get guys to the right spot, but he has to be able to make up for a missed rotation. And you know, LeBron in his prime was one of the best guys ever doing that. And it's hard to find somebody with that type of physical prowess and mental prowess to do that.
Yeah, and just like adding on to that, like I've you know talked to guys like the NBA practice time during the season is just almost non-existent.
It's all shoot around.
Like it's also you can't drill that stuff. Like it's very tough. So that's why you see these teams like, and they're showing you. It's hard to do all that, so let's try to get a bunch of wings and let's be switchy. And like, or they just play a deep drop with a great rim protector. You know what I mean? Like, it's just very, you know, very vanilla. But I think that's a great way to defend. Just you got to be tied together, man. But this is a lot of factors that contribute to teams not doing it.
Because remember in like the early 2000s, like, I mean, every team with hard hedge.
Well, also, I'll say this. You didn't have the shooting you had today.
True.
That was a lot of two big lineups, left space to cover. The pace was slower. You know what I mean? So there's a lot of factors that went into that. So I think that's also something you got to consider. But, yeah, man, great question. I'm interested to see how that works with the level of three-point shooting coming out, how teams will continue to adjust. Before we get out of here, Jordan, tell us about your stuff, your podcast, man. Let us know. Let the people know where they can find you, man.
Find me at Twitter at Jordan Rules TSP. You can find me on Instagram at Taproom Sports Podcast. You can catch the Taproom Sports Podcast live every Sunday through Wednesday on Twitch, YouTube, twitch.tv/taproomsports, 9:30 p.m. Pacific to whenever we end. If you're a degenerate, you definitely want to tap in, dude.
All right, Kings, when he gets back. To Elon World. When he gets back to Elon World, he will let y'all know that.
Hey, Trump's back, so he got to be back soon too.
No, I was gonna be back this month, so you know, we're getting time off this week, so I'm gonna be making a new one.
All right, follow myself, JJ Maples 55 _MST. Look out, we are still going to try and diversify how we put out this pod. Looking to go on to YouTube, get you guys some more clips to look at on Instagram and Twitter as well. So you guys can get more to, you know, how we do the show and more content and just kind of get it out there to more and more people so we can keep building this thing that we started from scratch, man. I'm loving it here. Once again, I'm glad my brother Kings is back. Jordan, welcome to the team. Thank you guys be safe, and we are out of here.
Peace, y'all.